So in this third chapter called Karma Yoga, we have seen Lord Krishna explain many concepts to Arjuna. To start with, to clear Arjuna's confusion, he explained the concept of Karma Yoga in text 3 to 9. From text 10 to 16, he explained the principle of yajna, or sacrifice, which are born out of duties prescribed in the Vedas, which eventually elevate one to the higher stage of spiritual life. Then from text 17, Lord Krishna has begun describing how a self-realized person should continue to perform his prescribed duties even though he is no longer obliged to do so. It is only a person who is bound in this world who has to perform prescribed duties. A self-realized person is not so bound and therefore not obliged to perform these duties. But nevertheless, for the sake of setting an example for the people at large, he must continue to perform his prescribed duties, but he must work in a spirit of detachment rather than attachment. Lord Krishna has given many examples. He has given the example of King Janak, and he has given his own example by saying that I myself have no need to work, but nevertheless, I also work to set the example, because if I do not, then the whole world will be put into ruin. Last Saturday, we concluded with text 24, where Lord Krishna has told Arjuna that if he did not, that is Krishna, did not perform his prescribed duties, then the world would be put to ruin, and he, that is Lord Krishna, would be the cause of producing unwanted population, Sankara, Varna Sankara, and thereby the peace of all living beings would be destroyed. So Krishna has already indicated to Arjuna that on the contrary, when Arjuna does not fight, he will be the cause of Varna Sankara, as opposed to Arjuna's earlier belief as put forward in chapter 1, that if Arjuna fights, then there will be Varna Sankara or unwanted population. But Krishna says the reverse. He says, no, Arjuna, if you don't fight, if you don't do your prescribed duty, then there will be Varna Sankara. And we also discussed how important a good population is for the peace and prosperity of society. And the Varna Sankara comes about when the principle of yajna and samskara are not followed in society. We also discussed how, although Lord Krishna sets an example for the humanity to, follow, still sometimes Lord Krishna performs activities which are not exactly according to the codes of conduct prescribed by him for us. In other words, he himself sometimes acts in there is a dog that has come in. Someone can just, of course, all living beings are welcome, but nevertheless, each living being has his place in life. So dog is considered an impure creature, contaminates the temple by coming in. So we may have compassion on all living beings by taking care of them outside in their respective place, but not in our own home. So therefore, the Vedic Shastras do not prescribe keeping of pets in the house, like dogs and cats and so on. Nowadays it is very common, but that is not proper according to our Shastra. At the same time, Shastra says that you should maintain all the animals on the fields, whoever outside, by giving them some food. What to speak of human beings, even animals should be maintained. So in any case, Lord Krishna performs such activities which bewilder the minds of faithless people. And we were saying that basically there are two reasons Why Arjuna or why Krishna, when he descends in his avatars, sometimes acts in violation of the rules that he himself has set down for the people at large? So just to revise, what is the first reason why Krishna sometimes violates his own rules for humanity? Yes? To please his devotees. So the question arises, how does he please his devotees by violating the rules? Can't he please his devotees by staying within the rules? Anyone would like to answer? Why does he have to violate the rules? He cannot work within, why? Krishna, nothing is impossible for Krishna. He can work within any framework to show others that he is merciful to his devotees. Well, that is also true, but there is a deeper reason. And that deeper reason lies with the goings on in the spiritual world, in his kingdom. In his kingdom, Lord Krishna has many, many pastimes and relationships with his various devotees. In the spiritual world, every living entity is a devotee, pure devotee of the Lord. And each living entity has a particular relationship with God. And that relationship is eternal, it is fixed, it is non-changing. What are those five relationships? We have discussed some time before. What are the kinds of relationships that any soul can have with God? Number one, Shantaras. Ras means mellow. It means that particular flavor. Just like we see in this world also. You can have relationships with many different people and each relationship has a different flavor. You may have a friend and you may have your brother or sister. The relationship may be different with both because there is a different flavor. That flavor may be called Ras. So the first is called Shantaras. Shantaras means what? The flavor of neutrality. There is not much of a concept of service there. No seva attitude yet. So for example, the trees, the flowers, everything, they are serving the Lord in Shantaras in the spiritual world. Everything in the spiritual world is conscious, please remember. Even the stone, the air, the water, everything is conscious. So they serve the Lord in a neutral way. The next, what is the second? Dasyaras. Someone can act as servant of God. This is something we can easily understand. The most common relationship that people know about us with God, that we are the servant of God. The third, yes, Sakhyaras. Sakhya means as a friend. So most religions of the world, their understanding of God and the relationship of human beings with God is restricted to Dasya. Right? If you see any other dharma in the world, they at the most understand this Dasyaras. They come from Shanta and Dasya. But they do not understand anything more than that. But in the Vedic scriptures, there is a higher understanding of the relationship of the Jiva with God. And that begins with Sakhyaras, friend. If there are many followers of other dharmas, if you tell them that you can become a friend of God, they will think it is very absurd what you are saying. Saying God is not an equal that he can be your friend. God is our eternal master. That is true. God is our eternal master. The constitutional position of the Atma is to be servant of Lord Krishna. Jivera Swarupahoy Krishna Nityadas. That is true. But nevertheless, out of love for his devotees, because a devotee wants to relate to the Lord as a friend, therefore Krishna gives up his position of being master in relation to that devotee and voluntarily accepts the relationship of a friend with another friend. And in that relationship, he derives greater pleasure than when he is master, when he acts as the master. So this is a higher relationship. This is Sakhyaras. Therefore, in Vrindavan we see, that the cowherd boys, they play with Krishna as if he is their friend. They climb on his shoulders, they pat him on the back, they play with him, they pull his legs, they make fun of him. So this is friendly dealings, sakhyaras. Then higher than that, vatsalyaras. Vatsalya means, this is the opposite of being servant. Now you are actually the protector of God. Krishna, although he is the protector of everyone, he is the maintainer of everyone, but nevertheless, when a devotee wants to act in the role of being God's protector and God's maintainer, then Krishna says, yes, if my devotee wants to deal with me in that mood, then certainly I will put myself under the protection of my devotee. I will put myself as one who is maintained by my devotee. So he gives opportunity for his devotees to relate to him in that way, like he did for Mother Yashoda and his father Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. They would feed him, they would take care of him, they would protect him. Whenever there were any dangers, they would chant all kinds of mantras for his protection. They would offer pujas for his protection. Krishna doesn't need anyone's protection. He is a protector of everyone. He is Lokapal. He is a protector of all the worlds. But he finds great happiness, even more happiness than in Sakya. He finds when he is reciprocating with devotees who consider him inferior to them. Not inferior in a negative way. Inferior in the sense of love, that they feel that Krishna is dependent on them and therefore they must take care of him. Just like a parent takes care of a child. And yet there is another higher mellow in the spiritual world. Please remember, we are talking only of pure spiritual relationships in the kingdom of God. And the highest one is what? Madhuryaras, which is the relationship of a lover and beloved. Now, in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna has relationships with many jivas who want to relate in this way to him. And he reciprocates very willingly. And he finds greatest happiness in that. Pure spiritual happiness. Now, these are the five relationships. Now, how many jivas are there? How many souls are there in the entire creation? Not only here, but also in the spiritual world. 100, 200, 30,000? Huh? 84 lakhs is the number of species in this world, in the material world. That's only the varieties of the bodies. Unimaginable, unlimited number of jivas, atmas. Unlimited. Even in this room, in the temple room today, as we sit here, we cannot count the number of atmas. Do you know why? You will say, well, there are only about 100 people here. Why do you say it is countless? Huh? Insects are there, mosquitoes are there, and even within our bodies there are so many insects, bacteria, microbes, so many things are there within our system. Millions of bacteria are there inside our body. So in this one room itself, there are unlimited souls. And each soul in this room or in the whole world is under a certain covering. It has been covered, his true knowledge or his true relationship with Lord Krishna has been covered by Maya, Lord Krishna's illusion. Therefore, the jiva is unable to understand that eternal relationship that he has with Krishna. Every jiva is related in one of these five relationships. At this time, we do not know what is our particular relationship with Krishna at the spiritual level. But when we perform bhakti, when we become pure devotees of the Lord, 100% pure, then that relationship will be revealed to us from inside. That is called Swarupa Siddhi. The perfection of understanding one's constitutional position, Swarupa. Then we understand, yes, I am related at the spiritual level in the spiritual world to Lord Krishna in this particular relationship. So, if there are countless, countless souls everywhere, and are all of them going to be of only one rasa? In each of the five rasas, there are countless souls. So five times countless, also countless. So countless souls in each of the relationships. And God is one. So God, imagine, God has the power and He has the capacity to have relationships with all jivas at the same time. Now, how many friends can you have, let us say? Somebody may be well connected. He may have good connections, he may have 100 friends, 200 friends. But can you have relationship with them at the same time for all of them and keep all of them happy? Is it possible? How many parents can you serve? How many superiors can you serve? How many children can you have in your family and protect them and look after them? Limited. How many wives or husbands can anybody have in this world? Maximum. Go on thinking. Very limited. One cannot. But Krishna, being God, has unlimited capacity to have unlimited relationships with unlimited souls in all the five rasas. So He relates to every jiva, because every jiva is a part and parcel of Lord Krishna. It is an energy of Krishna. And who are the gopis? The gopis are also jivas. They are also energy of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna. There are millions of souls who want to relate to Krishna in also this rasa. So Krishna has to fulfill their desire, because they wish to relate to Krishna in that relationship. And so over a period of many lifetimes they perform bhakti, and eventually the culmination or the fruit of their bhakti is that they are born in a place where Lord Krishna descends to perform His pastimes. Like Lord Krishna descended 5,000 years ago. So many, many people who had done great tapasya and seva of Lord Krishna in His different avatars for many previous lives, they got the chance to now associate with Lord Krishna when He has descended into this spirit, into this material world. And when Lord Krishna descends from the spiritual world here, He also brings other eternal associates of His. And these eternal associates train up the other people who have come from previous lives of tapasya here. In their association, these new gopis and gopas and all other devotees, they get trained up. Fine-tuning. Their bhakti gets fine-tuned. And at the end of this life, then they all go back to the spiritual world again. So how many jivas are there? There were many, many rishis who saw Lord Ramachandra in Treta Yuga, and they were captivated by His beauty, which is not material, it is spiritual. So they wanted to relate to Him in Madhurya Ras, but Lord Ram said, no, presently you are in the male body, and in any case I have taken Ekapatni Vrata, so I cannot relate to you in this avatar, but next time I will give you a chance. So then when He came again as Lord Krishna, then these sages were born as gopis. They called Rishichari gopis. So they got a chance to interact with Lord Krishna in this relationship of pure love, of pure bhakti. So Lord Krishna has to fulfill their desires, which is pure. And there are so many unlimited universes where everyone has desires of these five kinds. So that is why Lord Krishna sometimes is obliged to break His own rules, because He has to satisfy millions of His devotees all over the creation. Not just one or two. We have to satisfy only a few people. Our family members, our friends, our customers, our neighbors, society people. We just have few people to satisfy. But Krishna has to satisfy unlimited jivas. Every single jiva, his desire is being fulfilled from time immemorial by Lord Krishna. This is the Shastra's, this is what the Shastras declare. So therefore, if Krishna dances with a few thousand gopis in Vrindavan, or if He marries 16,108 queens in Dwarka, it is not a big number at all. Very tiny number compared to the number of jivas that are there who have relationship with Krishna. So it is because of this, it is in this way that he gives pleasure to maximum number of jivas who want to serve him and love him in a certain way. So this is why, this is how he gives pleasure to his devotees, by reciprocating their love in the way that they want. This is the first reason why Lord Krishna sometimes acts in violation of the rules he lays down for human society when he himself descends into the human society. And what is the second reason? He wants to show that he can do anything at any time, means what? Yes, he wants to show, not like the ordinary human being of this world wants to show that I am powerful. No, not like that. He wants to remind us that, look, I have come amongst all of you, but I am God and you are not. So please understand. So therefore, khabardar, please be careful, don't try to imitate me. I am extraordinary. I am most extraordinary personality in creation. So although Krishna moves in the society of human beings as an ordinary person, still sometimes, just to remind us that I am the Supreme Lord, he performs these activities from time to time, like lifting Govardhan Hill and so on. And then we also discussed that because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we cannot imitate him in the activities where he seems to violate his own rules that he has laid down for us. And if at all there is some discrepancy between his actions and his words in the Shastra, what should we follow? We should follow the words in the Shastra. We saw some examples of that. What examples? Karma Mimamsa philosophy spoken by whom? Krishna to Nanda Maharaj. On what occasion? Just before lifting the Govardhan Hill, correct? What is the second example? Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha being incarnation, but his teachings we don't accept, because his teachings violate the principles of the Shastra, of the Vedas. So we don't accept Buddha's teachings, although we accept Buddha as an incarnation of the Lord. So therefore the conclusion is, we should simply follow the Lord's instructions, the instructions of his devotees, and we should not foolishly, as many people in the world try to do, try to question Lord Krishna's apparently immoral activities, and then try to justify our own immoral activities on the basis of those activities, as many people do. You may have heard many people arguing like this, correct? Krishna is dancing with the gopis, Krishna did this on the battlefield, he did that on the battlefield. So he is God and we are not. That is a big difference. So in this way, Lord Krishna has concluded this section of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita by very clearly instructing us that one must very scrupulously perform one's prescribed duties for the sake of educating people in general. Now, from text 25 onwards to text 32 actually, he will be describing the position of one who works with attachment, sakama karmi, and also the position of one who works without attachment to the work or the fruits of his activities. Who is a sakama karmi? Sakama karmi means who performs karma for some fruit. He is attached to that fruit. He wants that very badly, so he works for that. He is the attached worker. When we say attached worker, that means we mean attached to the fruits of the karma. And the second person is a detached worker, who works as a matter of duty to set the example, but he is not attached to the fruits of his activities. So Lord Krishna is going to compare these two categories of people, and then the relationship between them also, and how the one man in knowledge should relate to the man in ignorance. A person who is attached to the fruits of activities is considered to be in ignorance, and the person who is acting with detachment from the fruits of his activities is considered to be in knowledge. So now we will recite together text number 25.
Sattah karmanya vidvanso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvans tatha saptas chikeshu loka sangraham.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. Sattaha. Sattaha means those who are attached. Attached to what? Attached to the fruits of their activities. Sattaha karmani yatha kurvanti. As they perform these prescribed duties and they're attached to the fruits. And who are these people? Therefore, avidvanso. Avidvanso means the ignorant. There are two kinds of people: vidvan and avidvan. Who is vidvan? Learned. And avidvan means one who is opposite, ignorant. So Lord Krishna uses the word avidvanso, which means one who is ignorant. What is the proof of his ignorance? That he is attached to the fruits of his activities. So just as an attached person works in this world in ignorance, externally, similarly, yatha, in the same way, kuryat vidvans tatha asaktas. In the same way, a vidvan, a learned person, should act, but without attachment. Asaktaha. So the avidvan, he is acting with his saktaha, and the vidvan is asaktaha, detached from the fruits of his actions. So the learned person must act just as the ignorant person is acting externally. He must act like that, but internally he must be asaktaha, he must be detached. No one should be able to make out the difference. Externally both appear the same. So he must act in this way. Why must he act in this way? It is described here. Chikirshur loka sangraham. Chikirshur means to lead. Loka sangraham means the people in general. Just in order to lead the people in general, he must work in this way. Now, Arjuna and Duryodhan, both were acting on the battlefield. Both were fighting, but one was very much attached to the fruits of his actions, Duryodhana. Avidvanso, ignorant. Arjun was detached from the fruits of his actions because he understood that the fruits were meant for Lord Krishna. They were the right of Lord Krishna to enjoy, not his. So he fought the battle for Lord Krishna's satisfaction. So although the detached person and the attached person both work in a similar way externally, there is a difference of heaven and hell, of the earth and the sky, between the two. What is the difference? The difference is in their consciousness, in their motivation, in their desire, in their thinking. This is the difference. The attached person acts on the basis of ego, of false ego. He acts for the sake of his personal ambitions. He acts for his personal name and fame. Basically, puja, labh, pratishtha. These three things, very important three words for us. They're important in that we should try to avoid them. It is very important that we should try to be away from these three: profit, adoration, and distinction. Labh means profit. The word profit is a very popular word in this world, isn't it? Shubhalab. Everybody is saying Shubhalab. So everybody is working for some profit. Lab, puja, everybody is looking for some adoration, some worship. People should glorify us. People should, you know, bow down before us. So this is also a natural instinct that people have. Pratishtha, we should be very famous. Distinction, we should have some very special reputation in the society. So therefore, this lab, puja, pratishtha is described by the great devotee poet Vidyapati as being a drop of water in the desert of material existence. When a person is thirsty in the desert, a drop of water cannot satisfy him. Similarly, a jiva who is struggling against the stringent laws of material nature in this material world, birth after birth in different species, cannot be happy just by this lab, puja and pratishtha. So therefore, the intelligent person doesn't strive for these things. One tries to accept whatever is one's destiny, is there in one's destiny. If it is fame, it comes on its own. If puja, lab, pratishtha come on their own, it is one thing. But he doesn't unnecessarily strive and put his Krishna consciousness in jeopardy, at risk for doing that. So that is one very important difference between these two categories of people. Now, how do you test? Somebody may say, well, I am not also attached to the fruits of my actions. I am also a learned person. I know the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Is it an intellectual understanding of the Bhagavad Gita that is sufficient to make one a Vidwan? No. The actual realization must be there. But how does one know who has what realization? He may say, yeah, I have the realization also. So then how do you test? Can anyone answer? Practical implementation, correct, but in what way? How will you find out? Externally, they are both appearing the same. For example, there are two businessmen. Both are working and business. Why does anyone do business or a job? To earn money, no? So the money is coming for both. So one is an attached person, sense gratifier, he is doing for his sense gratification. And the other person is a devotee, he is detached from the fruits of his actions. So how does one test who is detached, who is attached, who is learned, who is not learned? Practical implementation in terms of the work, in what way? What is that test? Yes, the example is of a businessman who lost all his goods in the godown, worth crores of rupees. That may be true. One can certainly understand the level of a person when one is in difficulty. But this kind of difficulty doesn't come every day for everyone. So how do you check? You can't wait for such a big calamity to come to someone before you can find out whether he is of that consciousness or not. So what is that test? Very simple test. When we say, how do you know? He is working in the office in business. He is also working in office in business. He is making phone call, itna becho, itna kharido. He is saying, buy this, sell this, do this. How do you know he is not bothered? He may say, I am not bothered. What is the test? What is the test here? The attachment or the detachment from the fruits of one's action. The main thing is the fruit of the labor. What is the fruit of the labor? Money. Money is honey, isn't it? So the main test is, how do you use your money? That is where the difference will immediately come about. Can be seen. Where do you use your money? Because that is what the work is going on for. People are working for the money. Also for other things, like the prestige, the name, fame and power and many other things. But primarily, money, because when you have money, you have all these other things. So money is what people are working for. So what are you using that money for? That will be the proof. Are you using for your sense gratification or are you using for Krishna's service? Yes, we have to have quota for ourselves. Isha vasyamidam sarvam yat kincham jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjitha ma gridah kasya siddhanam. Isha Parishad says everything belongs to the Lord, but we have to accept only what is given as our quota. So that is fine. So money The use of that is the determining factor for your sense gratification, or how much you spend for the Lord's service, but how much you keep back. The criteria that Krishna judges by is how much of ourselves we are giving for His cause, for His service. For example, the example of Rupa Goswami is given, one of the great acharyas in our parampara. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were from very pious Brahmin families, originally from Karnataka. They were from Saraswat Brahmin families here. And their ancestors migrated to Bengal. So they also were born and brought up in Bengal. And they were very, very learned, very noble, very aristocratic. And there was a king of Bengal at that time. He was a Nawab. It was under Muslim rule at that time. He was Nawab Hussain Shah. So he heard that these two young men were very intelligent, very learned, very capable, dynamic people. So he wanted such people to be his ministers so that he could go and enjoy life and go for hunting and this and that. So one day he called both the brothers and he told them that I would like you to be my ministers and run the kingdom for me, because if you don't, then I will persecute the Hindus and the Vaishnavas. So in order for the protection of the Vaishnavas and the devotees and the community at large, they agreed. And they served under this king for many years. But internally, they were always studying Srimad Bhagavatam, they were chanting the holy name of the Lord, they were trying as much as possible to associate with devotees of the Lord. They had a lot of wealth because the Nawab gave them tremendous wealth. So what they did was, that in their palatial building, they made Gupta Vrindavan. In their lawns, they had Govardhan, they had Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Vrindavan. And then they would be there and they would be chanting Krishna's names there. They would invite devotees, have kathas over there. In this way, they would try to be Krishna conscious and taste this nectar of bhakti even in those situations. One day, they heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they became determined that they would have his darshan. And they did. And from that point on, both the brothers, and they had a third brother also, who was not a minister, but he was also a great devotee. They decided that now we have to renounce everything and take the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to become renunciants. Give up this whole wealth and everything. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, that is the third brother, they decided to leave. Rupa Goswami had a lot of wealth, and then before he left, he distributed this. And this example is quoted many times in our sampradaya. Often you will find this example quoted of an ideal Grihastha Vaishnav, how he divides his income. 50% of whatever he had at that time, he utilized for Krishna's service. 25% he distributed amongst family members, relatives, etc. for their needs. And 25% he kept for personal emergencies. In this way he distributed his wealth. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami was the home minister. They were not Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami at that time. They had other names. The Nawab had given them different names, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. He had given them Muslim names. Later, after they were initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they got these names, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So he wrote a letter to Sanatana Goswami that Anupam and I are leaving. We are moving away and going to Vrindavan to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you please leave quickly and join us there. Sanatana Goswami was the chief minister or prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. So he felt obliged to stay for a little longer. So he stayed back. So when the king understood that these two had gone and Sanatana Goswami probably is now neglecting his duties, and he one day went to make a surprise check in Sanatana Goswami's house, Sanatana Goswami had not come pleading sickness, sick leave. He had put sick leave application. And when he went there, he found Sanatana Goswami is happily sitting in the midst of so many pandits hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, what is this? You are not reporting for work and you have said you are sick, but I see that you are hale and hearty. And on the contrary, you are just acting like a renounced person. You have duties to perform in this world. So Sanatana Goswami said, I have no more duties to perform. I am now living for Vrindavan. So the Nawab became very unhappy. He caught him and put him in jail. Rupa Goswami heard, he kept aside 10,000 gold coins for him. And then Sanatana Goswami eventually had to bribe the jailer with these coins. And then he let him out and went free. So all the three brothers finally went to Vrindavan to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they, the two, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, became the first two, the foremost of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So here from Rupa Goswami's example, Prabhupada explains how the ideal Grihastha Vaishnava should be. That when the income comes, how that should be used in the service of Krishna. Then one can understand the consciousness. Because in this world, wealth is very dear to everyone. One's name, one's fame, one's money, these things are very dear to us. So is one ashamed to be known as a devotee of the Lord in the public? Because one's name is very dear. Suppose somebody starts saying, oh, this person is like this, he's become devotee, he has also become Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. So people criticize. So are we, that is also the fruit of our work, we have some name in society, we have some relationship with people around us. Are we using our money in the right way for Krishna's service, or is it going for sense gratification? So this is a very simple way, practical way, in which one can try to lead a detached existence. Otherwise it is a very abstract, theoretical thing to do. How to be detached from the fruits of the action? The practical thing, take the fruits, offer to Krishna. Then automatically everything is easy. Unfortunately today, the standard is being set by the avidvansas. Vidvans like Rupa Goswami are rarely to be found. And the avidvansas, the ignorant people, are setting the standard for society now. And people are following in their footsteps. So therefore, the whole civilization is in a very perilous condition, very dangerous. Because ignorant people are setting the standards and they are deciding all the plans, all the horrible activities that are going on in the modern day world are simply the plans and the affairs of all these people who are avidvansa. Etam drishtam avashtabhya nashtatmanol pabuddhayah prabhavanti ugrakarmanah kshayaya jagato ahitah. Lord Krishna explains in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that these people who are avidvansa, they engage in horrible activities, ugra karmanaha, which are meant for the destruction of the earth and for the human society. Kshayaya, ahitaha, it is unbeneficial for the human society. And because their intelligence is lost, they are lost unto themselves. Nashtatmano, nashtatmanaha, alpabuddhayaha, they have less intelligence, spiritual intelligence. Materially they may be very intelligent, but spiritual intelligence is very minimal. Therefore they engage in acts which are horrible. They do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. Pravittim cha shaucham napi chacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. They don't know what is cleanliness. They don't know what is proper achara, what is proper behavior. Na satyam, they don't know what is truthfulness. So therefore the world has become a very bad place now, because the standards are being set by the avidvansas who are intensely attached to the fruits of their actions. Therefore people have become extremely selfish in the way they are doing things. And as every day of Kali Yuga passes, we see how people are becoming more and more selfish. Even in the earlier days, even as long as 20, 30, 40 years ago, you can notice the difference, how people were so much more charitable, so much more broad-minded, so much they had a spirit of sharing with others. But nowadays it is not so. Psychology of people has changed so drastically in just a short period of time. So therefore, the practical instruction that Lord Krishna gives us here, we must follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, spend our time as much as possible in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting about the Lord, glorifying Him, and serving Him as much as possible. And sthane sthita shruti gatantanu van manobhir. Sthane sthita, in our position we can be there, no problem. But tanu van manobhir, we should, with our body, with our mind, with our words, we should serve. Jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiye vartam. And while living from the mouths of devotees, we should hear the glories of Lord Krishna. Jnane prayasamudapasya namante eva. And we should give up all speculative philosophies. I think like this and I think like that. No, we accept what Lord Krishna thinks. This is a formula for success. Then Lord Krishna goes on in the next verse to explain how the vidvansa should deal with the avidvansa. What should be the relationship? How important point. So now we will do text 26.
Na buddhi bhedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam Joshayet sarva karmani Vidvan yukta samacharan.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. So as not to disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness.
Na buddhi bhedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam. Ajnanam, those who are in ajnana, ignorant. Why are they ignorant? Karma sanginam. They are attached to the fruits of their activities. Sakama karmis, fruitive workers. So what should the intelligent person do to them? Na buddhi bhedam janayed. He should not disrupt their intelligence. He should not go and disturb them. He should not immediately go and tell them, oh, this is all maya, you should not do this, you should renounce your work. He should not ask them to renounce artificially. Now, this verse is an important thing. It needs some little clarification. Here, Lord Krishna is saying that the wise should not disrupt the intelligence of those who are engaged in materialistic activities, karma kanda and so on. Now, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord, when he is addressing the demigods, he tells them that, look, one who is intelligent or wise should never try to encourage anyone on the path of fruitive activity, of sakama karma. Just as a doctor never encourages a patient to eat food that is harmful for him, even though the patient desires it. So the wise man should be like a doctor. He should never induce anyone, never encourage anyone, never help anyone to perform activities which bind him in the cycle of birth and death. Not disturb. Here Lord Krishna is saying he should not disturb. There Krishna says that one should never encourage such a person. So there is some confusion. Krishna seems to be saying the opposite here. But this verse is specifically meant for those who are jnanis. Jnana yoga. Those who are following this path of jnana yoga, if they go and disrupt the sakama karmis, but that is not possible for them. Jnana requires a pure heart. Pure heart depends on nishkama karma. But these people are not nishkama karmis, they are sakama karmis. So if you artificially bring them to try to bring them to a renounced state of life, it will cause disruption in society. So this verse, is first half, is specifically meant for those in jnana yoga who are trying to renounce, make the worldly people renounce. But this verse, this restriction of not disrupting the intelligence of the materialistic people, does not apply to the bhaktas. That means the bhaktas should go to the materialistic people and tell them, please do not do this. But they should not disturb them. What should they do? Lord Krishna explains. Joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktah samacharan. They should engage them in positive activities in the service of God. One who is a bhakta is very compassionate. Therefore, when he sees that somebody is in ignorance, is performing activities that are to his detriment, feeling very kind towards that person, he goes and speaks to that person, gives him knowledge. But a devotee is also very intelligent. He knows how to preach to everyone, to different kinds of people. Therefore, rather than simply going and just saying, oh, you are in Maya, you are this, you are that, what you are doing is sinful. Sometimes he may say like that, but in general, being very intelligent, rather than criticizing that person for the wrong things that he is doing, he will rather try to engage him somehow in Lord Krishna's seva. And if he, the devotee, is able to arouse in that other person some slight faith or shraddha in the path of bhakti, then that person will start his progress. So for example, many times when people come to our temple first time, they are already a little faithful, otherwise they would not have come here. But even then, they have many conceptions. I have been worshipping so many devatas for so many years, now what to do? So if you immediately tell them there is no need, you just worship Lord Krishna, they may get disturbed. Oh, what happens? He says, okay, you don't worry, you worship, but worship Krishna also. Sometimes they say, well, I have got this guru, I have got this mantra from there, that mantra from there. So how can I chant this also, that also? So we don't tell them, you forget about everything, just chant Krishna's name. If you tell them, they will get very disturbed. Chant this also, chant that, but chant Krishna's name. Chant Hare Krishna mantra, one mantra you chant. One time every day you chant, the other mantras will go on. That also you chant, no problem. But that doesn't mean we are encouraging them. Just like somebody comes saying, I am addicted to cigarettes. What should I do? I cannot give up my smoking. So devotee tells him, oh, you are a sinful creature, you will never come back. It's okay, it's part of the world, everybody is doing. Okay, you reduce. Now, how many cigarettes you are smoking? 10 cigarettes. Okay, now you move 5 cigarettes. That doesn't mean that I want him to smoke 5 cigarettes. But gradually you have to try to somehow bring him on this path. Then even as he's smoking, try to engage him in some acts of devotion. Do some seva. You know, I have some work, something has to be done. This little seva for Lord Krishna, for the temple, can you do please? Yes, you do. So he will start doing some seva, shraddha. So because of that shraddha, then he gradually starts making progress. Then he develops attachment. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktehe. So because he is serving the devotees and Lord Krishna, then what happens? The door to liberation, which was formerly closed, is now opening slowly now of bhakti, the house of bhakti. And then all he has to do is now step in. Then he is ready. Okay, one round he will start chanting. He may still be smoking, but he has started chanting one round. Then slowly he will increase chanting. Then automatically with the association of devotees, he feels inspired in the company of the devotees. He is chanting the holy name. He is hearing Krishna Katha. His heart is getting purified. He feels spiritual happiness, spiritual inspiration. Gradually starts saying, oh, cigarette. He will throw it aside. So the devotees are very intelligent in veering around the minds of the people somehow and bringing them by engaging them in positive works of devotion. Joshayet sarva karmani. Rather than simply criticizing them and cutting them, saying what you're doing is wrong, try to positively engage them in a higher, give them the higher taste. Rasa varjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate, as Lord Krishna says in second chapter. So we have to give them that param drishtva, that higher taste, then automatically the lower taste will disappear. So this is a tactic that is employed by devotees from time immemorial. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear the story of Narad Muni, the great devotee preacher, who came to the king, a famous king called Prachina Barhishat, who was an expert karmakandi, always engaging in so many yajnas and homas for this material improvement, for that material improvement, for elevation to higher planets and so on and so forth. And Narad Muni, being very intelligent, He told them so many nice stories. And in the nice stories, he described so many characters. And that character there was depicted as a very foolish person who was engaging in so many wrong activities. And by the time the story ended, so intelligently had Narad Muni spoken that story that he understood that this person, Puranjan, who is the main character in the story that Narad Muni is telling me, actually Puranjan is me. He's talking about me. Understood, that tube light came to him at the end of the story. He understood. If Narad Muni had directly told him, oh, this is all bogus, it's wrong, it's this, it's that, it's sinful, you'll go to hell, he may have got angry. But now he heard this wonderful story of King Puranjan that stretches over many chapters. Very fascinating story, long story, with many philosophical purports to it. And then ultimately, by Narad Muni's gentle encouragement, he stirred his philosophical nature inside. And then gradually he realized, yes, actually Puranjan is me. And therefore all the things Puranjan was doing, I have been doing. Therefore, if I continue doing that, I will meet the same fate as Puranjan. Therefore I should stop. Therefore I should become devotee now. And then he became Narad Muni's disciple and became a devotee. Eventually he renounced and left the kingdom to his sons, 10 sons who were called Prachetas. So this is the art of work, art of working in Krishna's service. So from the next verse, we'll discuss next time, Prakriti Kriyamanani Guni Karmani Sarvasya. So it's a very well-known verse. We will discuss that next time. And questions, etc., we will have after the darshan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.